Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. This is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the story of life for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Beloved of God, would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, draw near. Bless each of us this morning as we listen for your voice, your still speaking voice, moving among us this morning. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart in this room be holy and pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one more time, how many of you were here at some point this weekend to see or be part of the yard sale in any way? Did you lay eyes on the yard sale? Did you volunteer? Look, that's a lot of people. It was amazing, this yard sale. It was amazing to see you in action at this yard sale. It was amazing to see the generosity of the souls, you and people in our community who donated things to this yard sale. It was amazing to see how you were somehow church at a yard sale, by which I mean people came for a lamp or a coffee table, but so often as I watched you, they also told you a story, or they told you why they needed this coffee table and you listened, or in a couple of cases, they haggled with you over a price and you were so touched with who they were and what their story was that God bless you, at a yard sale, you said, oh, take it. Grace is free, alleluia for that. Thank you. How many of you donated something to the yard sale? Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. Thank you. Okay, so here's the question. How many of you miss what it is that you donated to the yard sale? Judy! Well, Judy moved and downsized and cleaned out her house and and she couldn't find the cribbage board. Oh, Judy, oh no! Okay, well, there's an exception to everything, isn't there? Judy, thanks for being our exception this morning. Most of us, I donated a box of stuff to the yard sale, and afterwards Noah said, "What did we donate? And what did we sell?" And I said, "Ah. Oh yeah, oh yeah." And then I could tell him a bowl and a mug and a vacuum and a but I walk around my house and I don't miss it. Do you miss it? And I just moved across the country. We had already purged a year ago and again when we unpacked our boxes. I was struck by so many things at this yard sale. I was struck by your energy and by your love of your church and by the welcome and community and grace you so freely offer and extend to everyone who comes near. And friends, I was so struck by how collectively we have so much stuff. You put out the call, and we and people in our community, normal people, cleaned out our closets and packed up our coffee tables and our cribbage boards, I'm sorry, and our chairs and our Christmas ornaments and the things that we don't use anymore, and somehow all of that stuff translated into an entire church yard full of tables, more than $8,000 worth of stuff, including the stuff we gave away for free because grace is free, much of it sold at 25 cents and a dollar a piece, and somehow that all added up. And most of that, in my house anyways, was stuff that previous to our sale had been in our closets, our barns, our basements. Stuff that was in our nooks and our crannies, stuff that was taking up space, stuff that we were needing to dust. Thank God for the yard sale then, not only as fundraiser and as community space, but also as a chance to go through it all, right? To gift it, the stuff in the closets, the stuff in the nooks and the crannies, to a better place, to make room in your home and in your garage for new things, for new life, maybe for a minute for some empty, tidy space, for new energy. The wise and prolific writer Phyllis Tickle acknowledges that churches and yard sales have a large and long-lasting connection, not only because so many churches do this holy work that we did this weekend, but also because, Phyllis Tickle writes, every 500 years, the church, capital C church, not our church, First Church Bridgeton, but the universal church of which we are all a part, that church holds a rummage sale. And by that, she means every 500 years, we go through our church attic and our church closets, and we make decisions. Is this still serving us? Does this coffee table, this tea set, this liturgy, this theology, this way of organizing, does this still hold meaning in the way that it used to? Or might we put this out on the curb with a 25-cent sticker on it, and make space for something new to emerge? So 500 years ago, when we did this in the Universal Church, capital C Church, we called it what? Who's a church nerd? The Reformation. Good job. We called it the Reformation. Literacy was on the rise. Trust in the church was on the decline. Church leaders had gotten greedy and they had sold indulgences. Basically, they had sold prayers and used that money to fund their buildings. There was a big question of authority. Who was the Pope? Who was this leader? Long story short, Luther nailed those 95 theses, right? You've heard this story, to the cathedral door. But there was much mumbling and grumbling and disruption of the system in the decades and even the century leading up to that moment, too. And from that moment, from that Reformation, comes so much, right? Comes us. Comes the breakaway from the Catholic Church, From that moment comes an emphasis on education, on study, on scripture, on the ability of the lay people, that's you, the lay people, to think and pray and learn on your own and not just let some leader tell you what to think or what to say or what to do. We had a yard sale 500 years ago. We put indulgences out on the curb. We gave up ultimate trust in leaders and started thinking more for ourselves. We started reading the Bible for ourselves. We could have the Bible now for ourselves. We restructured the whole church, and we left plenty on the curb with a free sign stuck on it. Every 500 years we do this, Phyllis Tickle says. We clean house. And we let something new emerge. 500 years before the Reformation was the Great Schism. 500 years before that was the fall of the Roman Empire and the leadership of Gregory the Great. 500 years before that, did anyone follow me? What was 500 years before that? Oh, good, you know, Jesus. Jesus, who changed the whole world, who changed all of our souls. Phyllis Tickle says, it's coming again. She says it's time again to clean out the closets. She's calling this the Great Emergence. We've gotten too cluttered in here, she says, and it's showing. She says this is why so many churches are finding their attendance and their membership are down. She says this is why so many young people are choosing not to come to church. She says this is why some churches feel stale to some people. Friends, our church really is an anomaly. It's almost strange to talk to you about this when, on one of the most beautiful days in the summer, when you all worked your bones and your muscles weary, somehow you are still in church this morning. This is not the norm. You are not the norm, and that's beautiful and holy. To be a growing church, to have so many young children and young families and young people, to feel here so full of life and so full of energy, God is doing something pretty holy around here. Amen? And it is also something that is a little bit rare these days. Might this mean, then, that God has a role for us in the Great Emergence, in the next thing the Spirit is doing in the world today? Might we be called, we who are sitting not in a place of anxiety about what's next for the church, but in a place of faith, a place of joy, a place of strength, might we have a role in the next closet cleaning, in the next chapter of what comes? Might we be called, not from a place of fear, but a place of faith and trust, to use our energy, our hearts, our spirits, to ask good questions, to listen mindfully, to go through who we've been and who we are becoming, and wonder if there are things we should let go of, if there are things we should stop dusting and stop reorganizing in the junk drawer and let go to the curb so that we could have space for other things to be born. Did I freak any of you out yet? Standing up here as the pastor saying, should we get rid of anything? You don't go into someone's beautiful house and say, okay, should we take anything out here? And friends, how would we even do that? Would what I think is important be different than what you think is important? God, I hope so. We're congregational. That's kind of the whole point, right? That we come here in our diversity, that we come here as we are with our different ideas and different experiences, and somehow God meets us here. So how would we ever begin? Have you ever tried to do anything in committee? How would we ever, as a congregation, take on the project of looking at our closets and deciding what stays and what goes. Did any of you read that book Marie Kondo wrote about decluttering our homes? She called it The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. It was a huge bestseller. She gave us this great question. Marie Kondo's question is, does it spark joy? Her idea is you walk around your house and you hold each thing, each coffee table, each cup, each mug, each book, and you say, does this spark joy? And if it doesn't, you get rid of it and make space for something else that sparks joy. Do we have a comparable question as church? Could we go through our church and ask, does this spark what? Love? Does this spark joy? Does this spark justice? Does this spark community? Let's look at our scripture today. In our passage today, we hear about a dream Jacob has of a ladder that ascends to heaven. Jacob is in a tough time. He's stolen from his brother, and he's running from family chaos. He's alone, and it's night, and he's laying down by the side of the river with a stone under his head. Not a comfortable night, not a gentle spot for his spirit, when he finds an opening. He has a vision of this ladder going up to heaven. Jacob hears the promises of God. The next morning, he wakes up and realizes God had been there with him. The very stone he laid his head on becomes an altar as he pours oil on it and calls it Bethel, which means house of God. He marks the place as holy ground. Friends, what else do we call the house of God? The church. We call many things the house of God, many of us, but one of the things we call the house of God is today is the church. As I read this passage today, I hear an invitation to be that holy ground, to be that Bethel, that house of God, and in particular to be that ladder that Jacob dreamed about. To be church and to be people who facilitate connection to God. To be space where that divide between the day-to-day and the holy is not so thick. Where a person can get close to God, close to heaven. Where a person can come on a hard night running from the chaos of family and the worry of what's next and can find here not a stone but a ladder. Not a stone but an altar. Can find here not a night spent in darkness, but a ladder to the Spirit. What if our question, our common question is, does it build the ladder? Does it connect us to the Spirit of all that is and to God's vision for our lives of loving ourselves, loving our God, and loving our neighbor? Does this help us build the ladder? Does this help us be the ladder? Then we could, all of us, as a congregation, look at each thing. The music, the pews, the building, the money, the pastor, the programs, the fundraisers, the groups, the prayers, the bulletins, the website, the everything. Does this build the ladder? Does this make us a ladder for souls in the night to come to us and find that connection? If yes, then thank God. If no, then could we tweak it? Is there an invitation here to be a better ladder? Is there an invitation here to put that one outside for a minute? Or as some people clean their houses, to put it in a box in the basement and wait 3 months and see if you need it, and then if you feel safe to then let it go? We could do it that way too. Are there things we are doing, are there ways we're spending our energy and our time that are not moving us on that ladder? A quick story of something we put out on the curb decades ago. Many of you have asked me about my stoles. I have quite a collection of stoles. They were all gifts to me in various forms. This one that I'm wearing today is one of a set of stoles. Maybe you've noticed I have it in white, I have it in purple, I have it in red, and I have it in green. This stole was given to me on my ordination by a woman who went to divinity school, who felt called to ordination, who was gifted stoles, who made it all the way, and who said, "I can't do this. It's too hard. I cannot keep fighting to hold space where women are not welcome." She went to divinity school in the 60s, and every conversation was a fight. She felt called to leadership in the church, but every moment was a fight, and she said, "I'm not called to fight." And so she used her life in other ways. She had great ministries, and she put the set of stoles in her closet. She never wore them. She was not ordained. And when she heard about me some 50 years later, heard my story that I felt called as a young person, that I saw models of ministry from when I was a young girl, that I never questioned my call because of my gender. Questioned it for many other reasons, but not because I was ever told that women don't have a place in the pulpit, that women don't have a place in leadership. She said, "Okay, these stoles are ready to be worn now." And she wrote me a letter about her call and her work. And she said, "Please wear these stoles. And please, when you wear them, be fully rooted in your call and also carry the stories of those of us who fought for you to be there. And also carry the hearts of those of us who chose to do something else because we were not called always to fight." Thank God for their work. And thank God for the churches who put those outdated ideas that somehow our bodies and our organs should define our role in the church. Thank God for churches who believe in women's leadership and women's ministry. Are there other things that we are doing that are somehow limiting the movement of the Spirit of God? Are there other things we are doing as a church and a people that are somehow holding us back from the bold and beautiful things God is calling us to do? We don't need to do this out of a spirit of anxiety. We have a beautiful church here. We could be fine. We don't have to clean our closets at all. But beloved of God, even the tidiest homes have a junk drawer. Even the tidiest homes have a basement or have clutter somewhere. You all are pointing around. Are you suggesting each other has a junk drawer? Oh, you're pointing at our own loft. Even the most beautiful church, yes, Frank, has a loft full of stuff. All the things we put up there, because they don't go down here, but we're not ready to get rid of them. Beautiful, Frank. So the question for our church is, when are we going to be ready to go through the loft? When are we going to be brave enough to look around and see what else might there be? These are not questions I ask lightly or want a fast answer to. We are not going to anxiously, after this service, run through all our physical or metaphorical closets trying to find something to give away. Friends, I am inviting you to slow, prayerful work of holding each thing, each commitment, each part of ourselves, each idea that we are giving our energy to and asking, does this fit into the ladder? Does this build toward the kingdom of God? I invite you to the question. I invite you to the prayer. I invite you to the ladder. And someday, bravely, mindfully, I invite you to the loft with me. Alleluia and amen.